It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread. Chardonnay. Haney, Mick Ultra, Vinny and Haney, 105.7, The Fan.
I think that those guys are working hard and great and getting better, and I just want to keep seeing them take this one step at a time and keep improving, play better football every week. You know, whoever that group has been in there, it's good. You know, that's a blessing for us. And but anybody that has to go in there, I'm confident those guys will do well. Very sound defense playing together really well. I mean, you know, fourth-ranked defense, 8-4 in the two categories. Really, really looking good statistically. Been playing good ball. Well, I mean both. I mean, you talk about everything and everything. Most everything is understood. So we try to turn over every stone. I think I said that to get better, and that's certainly one of them. You know, don't take anything for granted. They're out there catching passes right now as we speak, and that's something that we need to get better at. I mean, if you catch all eight of those, then the whole statistical story is moot. I believe that we're going to play great football on defense. So, but you got to work at it. You got to work at every part of it. Yeah, rest day. He's been playing great, and we got a lot of football in front of us here. You know, we've got quick game, another big game coming up. So that was warranted today.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, yesterday met with the media out at One Winning Drive. You know, a couple days after the Ravens lose, surprisingly, to the Cleveland Browns, talking about things relating to his team, and that right there was John Harbaugh talking about the fact that Lamar Jackson didn't practice yesterday. Knee, was it back, or whatever it was. Rest day is probably the more appropriate term for why he wound up on the injury report on the first day of practice returning. Denver looming on Sunday. So, nothing to see here. Please disperse. I would think in regards to Lamar in any possible injury situation. Now, however, when they reconvene today and he's not there, then maybe there's more to it than just a rest day. But I will say John Harbaugh pretty much told you why he didn't practice yesterday. Just getting that little extra day. You have a game Sunday, then a short week against Cincinnati. And then Pittsburgh looming after that. So let's get him ready to rock and roll, healthy as he could possibly be for an interesting stretch of games against a 5-3 Broncos team, against the Cincinnati team fighting for its season, and against a Pittsburgh team with first place possibly on the line there. So Lamar did not practice. Are we worried? Can't speak for you. I, for one, am not. Nolan, are you?
Not at all. This happens every year. We're 8 weeks into the season. Lamar has had rest days are normal. Quarterbacks around the league get them. Star players around the league get rest days. It's a part of the process. We're deep enough into the season. No concerns at all.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Arthur Millett probably got one of those too yesterday, coming back from a knee injury that cost him the first portion of the season. Also heard John Harbaugh talking about the secondary and the drops. And boy, did he make this easy for me. He said, and you heard what the quote was, we're going to turn over every stone. Well, they've been like the hands of stone. Manos DiPietros with the interceptions, leading the NFL in that category. A dubious leadership, but it's pretty bad, and we know the outcome of the Cleveland game would have been different, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Was it? The outcome was reality. They lost. They dropped a ton of picks. Staying after practice on the jugs gun, trying to make it real. They got to get that effort in. But as anyone knows, at any level of sports that you play or any level of job that you do, you could practice or prepare. It certainly helps. But in real time, it's a lot different. That jugs gun is coming right at you. Then you got the wide receiver trying to knock the ball out of your hands. Got the crowd going crazy. What are you getting a batting cage? You're rocking them 400 feet. You know what I mean? Got some scrub umpire blowing balls and strikes, making you swing at things that are outside the zone. That's another story altogether. But practice, the good thing is they've recognized that it's a problem. Can they correct said problem? I did see, Nolan, that Marcus Williams refused to speak to the media yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's a very telling sign.
Right. You know, talked to Cordell last week, of course. We played mm-hmm. that cut a bunch of times since then. But even in that, you know, he's very short, didn't have much to say. Even Cordell admitted, you know, he was polite about it, but just didn't really want to talk about it. So the way Harbaugh talked about him, and we can get to that cut a little bit later, but Harbaugh was doing his typical glowing speaking about him, said we still believe in him. He's going to play a big role for us moving forward. Made it sound like he'll be back out there Sunday without explicitly saying it. So we'll see what happens. But for now, it seems like a one-game absence, and that's it.
We shall see. I mean, if he refused to speak to the media, well, he's been demoted. That's obvious. But the DNP, he wasn't on the inactive list. He suited up, didn't play. He and Josh Johnson were the only two Ravens who didn't play against the Browns. I don't know, man. I mean, Harbsy was greasing him pretty good, but I'm thinking he might not play this week, too. Could be wrong.
Yeah, I think had, you know, your backups in that situation last Sunday actually performed well, Eddie Jackson, other guys, Ardarius Washington was out there a good bit. Had those guys actually showed themselves a little bit better, come down with a key interception themselves or a key breakup, weren't on the wrong side of the go-ahead touchdown late, talking about Eddie Jackson. So if they showed themselves a little bit better, I might agree with you, but I don't think the Ravens really have a choice. You got to play Marcus Williams, and he's not great, but he's better than what we saw last Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Jackson has not graded out well this season himself. So we'll see what goes on starting at 1 o'clock against the Denver Broncos. Also heard John Harbaugh talking about the Denver defense, which is one of the best in the National Football League through their first eight games. Matter of fact, they ranked number 3 overall, 7 against the run, 4th pass defense. They only give up 15 points per game. Granted, they haven't played a ton of explosive teams as of late. They're 3rd in red zone defense. They're 2nd in 4th down efficiency. All right, 3rd downs, they kind of struggle. Not as bad as the Ravens, but struggle a little bit. So it's a Denver defense that's coming in here on somewhat of a high. Now, offensively, however, there might be some issues here. They're rated either mediocre or less than in a lot of categories, even though Bo Nix, their rookie quarterback, is coming off a 3-touchdown performance last week against the Carolina Panthers. And I know Vinny was saying it yesterday. Well, they beat like 2 scrub teams back-to-back weeks. And fair. But the Ravens have lost to the Raiders and the Browns. 2 scrub teams. So you can never discount anything. And Vinny will do his film study coming up around 11:30. I'm not dismissing the Broncos. I think the Ravens are going to win. Spoiler alert. But I wouldn't be surprised if the game's much more competitive than that 9.5-point spread that's out there right now from ESPN Bet.
And that's exactly what I was thinking. When that line came out, to be even greater than what? The Browns spread was 8, 8.5?
Started at 11.
I'm saying it came down a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably because of the quarterback change, I would imagine. But yeah, I was a little stunned that coming off a loss that the Ravens would get a more favorable line than they had last week. But I think the Broncos are the kind of team that could beat the Ravens. I mean, they've got the defense. Seems like they've got the pieces to do something similar to what Cleveland did last week, be able to disrupt what the Ravens want to do in the run game just enough to throw them off their rhythm. And then what we've seen from the Ravens defense, I mean, anyone can pass on them. So I don't care if you're Bo Nix, whoever. I mean, as bad as he's been at times this year, and I've given him a lot of grief, he could go off on Sunday. It would not surprise me one bit. So I'm with you. I think this could be much more of a 5 or 6 point game than 9 to 10.
Yeah, and I think the Denver Broncos can get to the quarterback a little bit too. So some of the things we'll discuss over the next couple of days, but Baltimore taking on Denver, we'll be talking about it obviously today and tomorrow and into Sunday's 1 o'clock kickoff. World Series is over. Yankees, Bumbadita, happy trails to you. Blow a 5-0 lead. Total implosion against the Dodgers as Aaron Judge drops a fly ball. Anthony Volpe, Gold Glover. Warren Burns won to third base. Gerrit Cole, I don't know what the hell he was thinking, didn't cover first. Then Freddie Freeman, MVP of the World Series, gets a big hit. Teoscar Hernandez, who I think's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't mind having him in the middle of the Oriole lineup thumping a little bit, depending on how much old David Rubenstein's willing to spend. He gets a big one. And how about Walker Buehler coming in, just slamming the door like a champ. So the New York Yankees blow a 5-0 lead, lose 7-6. World Series ends in 5 games. Hey, Judge went deep. Jazz Chisholm went deep. Stanton went deep. And as Jim Hunter said yesterday, when they hit home runs, they win. And kind of like, yeah, okay, we get it. I don't think Jim wanted to make a harsh decision on that one either way. But they hit home runs and they lost. So it went against his analysis of the World Series. So congratulations to you, L.A. Dodgers. Freddie Freeman, his second World Championship since 2021. Remember, did it with the Braves there. So congratulations to them. Dave Roberts, look, they won it in 20. It was the COVID year. To me, it's like the bubble NBA title or even an 8-game strike-shortened NFL season. Redskins looking at you, 1982. But the championships still count, and that's all that matters. So L.A., I think we have we've seen they've won the division how many years in a row? I mean, they're like a little, they're a dynasty here. Based on current terms, I guess.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Okay.
I mean, look, if they built the most stacked lineup in baseball, a lot of people would say he probably should have won more than this time span.
Oh, they've had better teams than this one.
Yeah.
Didn't even make it to the World Series.
So, sure, impressive when you look at their pitching. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. They only had two pitchers that surpassed 100 innings on the season. That's insane to go on and win the World Series, but it goes to show you how stacked, again, that lineup is. Otani, Betts, Freeman, three MVP guys in their career coming together to play on the same team. And then you mention role players. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez is a role player. That's insanity. I mean, he might be the best player on another team. So good for them. They beat the Yankees, so I'm all about it. I'm not going to complain at all.
Now the Orioles offseason begins, and you've got 5 days to tender Santander, Corbin Burns. You have to make a decision on Ryan O'Hearn. Let's not forget the arbitration eligible guys. All of them in line for raises. And you told me this before we hit to the break or head to the break, Nolan, that Corbin Burns did the eyeball thingy there, whatever that. You have to explain it to me. I have no idea what it is.
Well, it surprised me, too. I didn't think this was Corbin Burns was an eyeball emoji type of guy, but I guess he is. Okay. You know, Twitter, MLB puts out the post. Dodgers are your World Series champions. The graphic, everything's great. Corbin Burns replying to it with the eyeball emojis, which for young people speak is usually kind of a nod without saying anything. Hey, wink, wink, looking over here.
Wow.
People connecting dots are maybe a little too quick to jump off the cliff here. Orioles fans thinking that he's already got 1 foot out the door heading to the West Coast.
But hasn't he already kind of had that anyway? If he signs with the Orioles, it would be a bigger surprise than anything they would do this offseason, I would think. Other than signing like a Juan Soto.
Right.
Burns staying would be a stunning turn of events.
I'm with you on that, but he's never come out and said, oh, you know, get me out of here.
No, hell no.
I'm going. So
apparently he's loved every minute of being here. Even his agent said that.
Right. So that's why when a tweet like this, again, and we're just talking emojis here, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. We're not even talking about words that were spoken out of his mouth, words that he didn't even type. Uh-huh. We're talking about little cartoon eyeballs. But that's the world we live in.
All right, well, there it is. But free agency begins, what, a couple of weeks or in a week? And you got to start making these harsh decisions about your roster moving forward. So the Orioles, back-to-back playoff appearances, back-to-back 90-win seasons, got to level up. I did see that ESPN Bet has the Orioles among as the fifth highest, or best, I should say, odds, tied with a couple of other teams, to win the World Series next year. So, Mike Elias, the ball's in your court. And David Rubenstein, your first offseason as Orioles owner, 75 years old, grew up right across the street from Memorial Stadium. What you got? Got enough free hats. That splash thing's all very touching. What kind of dough you spending over here? We got a lot to get into. It's Total Request Thursday. It's Vinny and Haney. Vinny's off today. We'll hear from him, though. 11:30, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Ravens 9.5-point favorites against Denver. Yankees are done. Dodgers World Series champs and other things in between here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm a fan.
Vinny and Haney, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Marcus was out there practicing today. I thought he had a heck of a practice. He looked good. I'm excited for Marcus Williams. I always have been, always will be. He's one of the top safeties in the league, in my opinion. And I'm looking forward to him playing great football.
I guess it was your opinion, John Harbaugh, to have him sit the bench last week then, along with intel from Zach Orr and Dean Pease and others. So that's a lot of praise for a guy that has fallen out of favor. It seems to me, did he need Marcus Williams a reset? He used to be a ball hawk in New Orleans and early in his Ravens tenure. Injuries had been a problem. Broke his wrist in 22. Unfortunate. Last year playing with a banged up shoulder. In his absence led Geno Stone to make a bunch of plays. But when he was healthy, came back. Geno Stone kind of was relegated to more of a relief role. Geno got the big dough in Cincinnati, and as we heard yesterday from the Bengals, not playing all that great there. But Marcus Williams has been very bad. Terrible, horrible, don't want to pile on too much, but the potential is certainly there. And based on the intel we got from training camp, from Cordell, and from Vinny, he looked awesome. Now, Kyle Hamilton was missing time, so maybe, Nolan, they gave him more of a leadership role that he thrived in. But to have the performance level drop to where he's one of the worst rated safeties in football, and Eddie Jackson's kind of in that same territory, which, by the way, is not good. I don't know. I don't get it. Define role, ball hawk, get in there, get your tackles. But he has been, for instance, when Vinny texts me on a Sunday, where's Marcus Williams? Nolan, I didn't even realize he wasn't playing.
Right, and if you hadn't seen the tweets from the beat reporters that were there in Cleveland saying, hey, Marcus Williams, here's a picture, him standing on the sideline, not even holding his helmet, right. I would have said the same thing. I don't know. Can't see him. Maybe he's off the screen. Maybe he is out there. He's just not making tackles. He's playing like he has all year.
He's literally playing center field over at Progressive Field where the Guardians play. I had to look at the box score, in-game box score, and he didn't register. And then it dawned on me, he was like, I don't think this dude's on the field, man. And he wasn't. And as, you know, the rest of the safeties started getting roasted, started wondering why. Maybe pregame got lamed up or something. I don't know. But it was a straight-up benching. But are you buying with John Harbaugh selling that thinks he's one of the best safeties in the league? If that's the case, you know, why isn't he playing?
Right.
Why this dramatic? Played every snap against Tampa, didn't play one against Cleveland.
Well, I do think it is coach speak in that regard. And Harbaugh even said that, I think, immediately following the game. You know, it was a personnel decision. Don't think any less of him. You know, nothing to see here, that type of stuff. But as I was saying earlier in the show, if he's better than the guys that were out there on Sunday, you got to play him. And I do believe that he will be back out there this Sunday. I think, let's say there was a blow up. Again, this is all speculation that he popped off on Harbaugh or any coach or something was said. That seems to be the fan speculation right now, but we don't know. All right, you bench him for one game, you send a message. It stinks that the game he gets benched, you lose. Would he have made a difference? That's all debates that can be had, but I think he'll be back. It's a one game absence. He's healthy, so he's better than the other options. I would be stunned if he didn't play.
Again, they knew Adarius Washington and Eddie Jackson. They knew last Wednesday that they were going to start. So it was kind of a stunning turn of events when it was all said and done. McKenny get himself back into the good graces of the Ravens. Third highest salary cap hit on the roster behind Lamar and Marlon Humphrey, who, by the way, was back at practice. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. You want to preview the Broncos with us, you can. Are you more concerned about Denver than maybe we are at this point in time? The spread is pretty hefty, but they have the identical record as Baltimore. They're 5-3, second place AFC West. They won five of their last six games, and their rookie quarterback, Bo Nix, just threw three touchdowns. Again, it was only air quotes against Carolina, but they count the record book like it would have been against Kansas City or the Ravens. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Total request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Brian and Owings Mills. Brian, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? First of all, happy Halloween, Bob. You said pick a song you play. Please play The Undertaker, rest in peace, for the New York Yankees.
Yeah,
you know, they were just laying inevitable. The Grim Reaper came, and he's going to come for the Jets tonight, seeing it's Halloween and all. You know, let me just say this much. I don't know what it is with Eric DaCosta. Like I said, this scouting department, this drafting has been pretty poor. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got some kind of love fetish with safeties. He's, you know, like Ozzie had with tight ends. You can guarantee there's always a tight end in Ozzie's draft. Something with these safeties, man. He tried to get Jamal Adams. When you go out and you sign Marcus Williams, you gave him all that money as a free agent. Then he turned around and drafted Hamilton the same year. I was like, what are you doing? We need a pass rusher, you know. And then you try to compensate by bringing in Bateman as a wide receiver. Then you try to get OA as your pass rusher, who didn't have any sacks in college at Penn State. He was terrible, god awful. People question that. I even question that. Then you turn around. Then you draft a receiver and Flowers again. And I was like, bro, we need a corner. Kristen Gonzalez. I don't know what is going on at the castle, but these drafts and then same thing with Queen didn't pan out. First round bust. We have to do a serious overhaul when it comes to this department, man. Seriously. Right. But thanks for taking my call, Bob.
All right, Brian. Lambasting. All right. A lot of layers there. All right. Zay Flowers is their number one receiver. and is having a Pro Bowl level season. We'll go there. Kyle Hamilton was first team all pro last year, and going into the season was considered to be maybe a defensive player of the year candidate. Now playing like that, and the last play we remember is the one he didn't make against Cleveland. But say his bust, I think, is way, way out of control. And if I'm not mistaken, the Ravens led the NFL in sacks last year. And oh, way, is he Lawrence Taylor or Terrell Suggs or Matthew Judon for that matter? No. Got 4.5. His career high is 5. So he's going to break that, I would hope. Ajabo, there's a problemo there. Remember we were talking, they got a steal with David Ajabo? Got hurt at his pro day. Now we're kind of looking at it more as, you talk about Oway's lack of production, going into his breakout season at Michigan with Aiden Hutchinson on the other side. David Ajabo had one tackle in his career. So there might be a guy that parlayed, you know, or benefited, I should say, from Aiden Hutchinson on the other side, who, by the way, has been a stud at the NFL level. And what else was he complaining about? They just drafted Nate Wiggins, who, by all accounts, is going to be a high-level player. What's he, 6 games in his career?
Mm-hmm.
He's missed a couple. Being a little harsh on the EDC. And last I checked, they did play in the AFC Championship game last year. Not trying to say everything's warm and fuzzy, because it's not. I mean, they've lost to the Raiders and the Browns this year.
Right. I mean, their issues right now are not the product of draft history or recent draft history at that. Recent free agency acquisitions. But could they have done more? Sure. You could say that about any team. Any team could have done more. It doesn't matter. Their issues right now lie in defensive scheme. A lot of people would point to defensive coordinator. And just lack of overall execution.
Yeah,
catch the ball.
Roquan Smith has not played as well as he normally does. Another first-team All-Pro. He's taken a step back this season. Marlon's got 4 picks, but he's banged up with a knee. And he's had moments where he's been roasted. Brandon Stevens, who was a breakout guy last year, poised for an extension, and still may be, set a rough go of it. And of all the roastings he's taken this year, Sunday was the worst. At least in other games, the receivers are like McLaurin's wearing a Brandon Stevens cape. Last week, they're running 5 yards in front of him, and he's chasing and trying to make up ground that his speed says he can't make up. So, and we'll see what Eric DaCosta does by what? 4 o'clock on Tuesday. They get Jadeveon Clowney or say pull a shocker for Max Crosby. Probably won't, but you never know. I mean, I don't know. I just think the players aren't playing as well as they did last year. Now that we point fingers at Zach Orr, I don't think that's unfair when you let Denard Wilson, Anthony Weaver leave. And if you're sitting here saying that Mike McDonald got a head coaching job. What's he supposed to stick around and hope, pull a James Franklin, be coach in waiting, and never get the job? No. Mike McDonald did what he was supposed to do. But bypassing Weaver and Denard Wilson for Zach Orr, I think that's a fair conversation to have.
Right now, it's a hindsight 2020 situation. It looks blatantly obvious right now, 8 weeks in. You know, Mike McDonald had a little bit of struggles early in his tenure. As Ravens DC, there was miscommunication, but I seem to remember that kind of slowing down around 4 or 5 games in, maybe 6 games at most. And then, of course, by the time we reached the trade deadline, Roquan Smith enters the picture, and everything changed from that point on. Can they swing a trade this year to land a guy that changes the complexion of the defense?
We have what? I don't want to do hours counting, but till Tuesday. Old band from the 80s. We can get in all of that and more if you want to join us. You can at 410-583-1057. Gabe Lax, USA Today. Talk about the Dodgers. Champions of the baseball world. They close out the Yankees in 5, coming from 5 runs down to do so. Got Thursday night football coming up. Got the Jets taking on the Houston Texans. Maryland's off this week. College football. They have Oregon, however, on the road after that. And Maryland hoops starts coming up on Monday against Manhattan. The old Jasper's coming in, licking their wounds after a 7-win season. The Wizard, Walt Williams, will be joining us at 12:30 to talk about that. And a week into the NBA season. Hey, the Wizards are, what, 2 in a row? But can they beat anybody but Atlanta is the question. Line could be telling, however. ESPN Bet has the Ravens 9.5-point favorites at home. Rookie quarterbacks have not done well historically against John Harbaugh-coached teams. I mean, Jaden Daniels had his moments of success for sure a couple of weeks back when the Commanders were in town, and Bo Nix, you know, he's playing better as of late, not putting up big gaudy numbers, but not losing them games. Look, we talked about the Jets playing Houston tonight. I mean, Denver beat New York in a game in which, they have like negative yards passing at halftime. And Bo Nix, a college football vagabond, started at Auburn where he's a legacy guy. His dad was a player there. Then he transferred to Oregon and was a Heisman finalist. Great season for them. And we'll see. Sean Payton coaxing the most out of that offense. But their defense is their calling card. So it's the Ravens' offense, which is one of the best in the NFL, coming up a game against Cleveland, which they weren't sharp. Drop passes, questionable play calls, offensive line had some problems containing Cleveland in regards to putting pressure on Lamar Jackson. I mean, Derrick Henry didn't run the ball all that much, which was somewhat surprising, and still had a chance to win. But the Ravens' offense have been clicking on all cylinders, putting up 40 points here, 41 points there. Lamar's been brilliant all season long. Now, he missed a couple of throws, as we've discussed. We don't harp too much on what happened Sunday, but Zay Flowers was wide open for a touchdown, second quarter. And then Isaiah Likely was wide open for a big play early in the fourth quarter, and he just missed them. They're wide open. Overthrows, throws that he'd like to have back. But for the most part, he's been hitting those throws. His quarterback rating has been over 100. Well, it's over 100 for the season. But consecutive weeks, like 5. So Lamar Jackson, who didn't practice yesterday, and if you're just tuning in, John Harbaugh basically said it's a rest day, is on their injury report for a knee and a back. But he'll be ready to go, we assume, for the Broncos. But Lamar Jackson's the least of the Ravens' worries. Getting this defense tightened up, that's going to be huge for them, not just against the Broncos. Look, if Courtland Sutton goes off for 115 yards and a couple of touchdowns, then we got problems. And Bo Nix is clean for most of the day, and he's only been sacked 11 times this year. It's not like Cleveland, who had given up 35 sacks. And the Ravens do get to the QB, been a little quiet in that department last couple of weeks. But if Bo Nix is clean and starts dicing things up, then we're reevaluating things. Look, they already brought in Dean Pease as an advisor, which speaks volumes, I think, about their concern level with what's going on there. We're not saying Zach Gore sucks. He's in over his head. He might turn out to be a brilliant defensive coordinator, but he's learning. And he's learning on the fly. And he's the defensive coordinator for a team that had one of the best defenses in football last year and is trying to get to the Super Bowl this year. And if they don't get to the Super Bowl this year, I would hope it's not going to be because of questionable offensive schemes. It's going to be because the defense can't carry their end of the deal. We'll come back, talk about the World Series, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Gabe Lax, USA Today. Ravens 9.5-point favorites. Yankees are done. Dodgers are champs. Now the Orioles trying to get to the next level, which means getting more than 3 games deep into the playoffs. Confidence level on Mike Elias is what this offseason? No Lamar practice, but John Harbaugh pretty much said it's a rest day. So that's good news. Nate Wiggins and Marlon Humphrey were back. That's good news. Deontay Johnson was there, returning punts. Maybe keep an eye on that. So that's good news. Michael Pierce on the injured reserve. That's bad news because the D-line, Travis Jones, did practice yesterday. So issues there perhaps in what was one of the strengths of the team. Now because of injuries, a little bit decimated. And old Justin Madubuike not playing like he did in 2023. We earned himself a big old fancy contract extension. But we'll get into that and more. World Series is over. Dodgers, world champions, winning in five games. They were down 5-0. We'll get into that and more with Gabe Lax from USA Today. Top of the hour. Talk about the Orioles and their potential moves this offseason. Are they going to be willing? They're going to be willing, but how much more willing are they going to be to spend dough? Are they going to get into bidding wars? Are they going to open the old checkbook, become one of these top 10 payroll teams that they used to be when Peter Angelos was in his heyday way back when? Do they need to be, I guess, is the bigger question. Let's go to Jay in Baltimore. Jay, what's up?
Good morning, sir. My question is, why would we trade for a wide receiver knowing we have problems on the back end and the defense? I don't understand why we would need an extra wide receiver in this case when we have Tylan Wallace as a backup for at least a third position. I mean, a third wide receiver. Can you explain that to me?
Well, Tylan Wallace has never been a game changer as a receiver. He's more of a return guy. And when he's gotten his opportunities, he's made the most of them, but his opportunities have been few and far between. And Deontay Johnson, if you compared him to Tylan Wallace, is an upgrade. And quite frankly, might be an upgrade over Nelson Aguilar, even though personally I like Aguilar because he can, you know, when Lamar's improvising and adapt, he finds a way to get open. And he's on the cheap. You didn't really give up anything to get him. So to me, I don't think it's not a needle mover one way or another. I don't think it's DaCosta neglecting the weaknesses of the team. I mean, they still have a couple of days to address those. And you can never, let's be honest, Jay, you can never have enough good players. You already have a great offense. Add another guy that can make it better. I don't see a problem here at all.
Defense would be more of a priority.
Well, I think that's still going to be addressed, I would hope. If not, then we can address this, I think, a little bit more.
All right, thank you, sir. You have a good one.
All right, Jay, thank you very much. I mean, Deontay Johnson, I think, is going to help the team. The only concern I have with him, Nolan, is when he played for the Steelers, he's known for dropping the ball and maybe being somewhat of a pain in the old rear end there.
Right. I think if you're out on the internet right now, maybe some Steelers fans doing a little secret celebrating under the table saying, hey, go ahead, see how it works out for you.
Yeah. This is not going to be the only move Eric DaCosta makes. I don't think. Now, if it is, then we're like, all right, first thing I thought, Deontay Johnson, okay, great, I guess.
Well, it's like the Orioles deadline conversations. Remember, they made some moves in the week before the deadline, maybe 4 or 5 days. They made a couple moves, and people were saying, oh, you know, you can't do this. You got to shoot higher than that. And, well, there's more time, and a lot of moves come down to the actual deadline. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of movement on Monday and coming up to that deadline.
And they're going to be teams that are selling. They could go offensive line, perhaps, even to bolster the depth there. But defense in particular needs to be the number one priority. Now, if you're healthy, are you good enough in the secondary? You can make an argument, yeah, but results so far have said no. There's something missing at the safety spot outside of Kyle Hamilton. And as we talked about this in the opening of the show, he's not duplicating his outstanding 2023 season. He was arguably the best safety in football last year, and I don't think he's playing like that right now.
No, even though he did have one of the only impact plays of the game with the forced fumble. But again, you drop the interception, it kind of negates that, an interception that very much would have won you the game. So I get the frustration, and as far as the injuries, I'm with you. I mean, if Marlon Humphrey's out there last Sunday, if Nate Wiggins is out there last Sunday, both of them are out there. Unless one of those interceptions was landed in Humphrey's hands, the only guy on the team who seems capable of catching an interception, I don't think it makes that much of a difference in the game, even when they have had great health this season. They've still been picked apart by opposing quarterbacks.
Look, and I know a lot of people want to criticize the coach and the GM. That's kind of the nature of being a fan. And I've been doing this for 25 years. I get it. I came on the air at WNST the day after the Ravens won the Super Bowl by 27 points. And a couple of people complaining they didn't get the shutout. And my only response was, really? 5 years ago, we didn't even have a team. Now we're talking about winning a Super Bowl, and you're bitching about them giving up a kickoff return for a TD. So that's the nature of being a fan. Let it play out. Wednesday morning, Deontay Johnson's the only move they made. Then we start criticizing. It's 88-81-05-7 The Fed. We'll come back, talk about baseball, World Series. Don Dodgers, champions of the world, the Yankees. Yeah, tough L for them. I like how the New York-based reporters trying to bait Juan Soto into saying, if I had a preference, it would be to come back here. He goes, nah, I'm open for business for all 30 teams. Are the Orioles open for business, though? That's the bigger question locally.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.